kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
The teaching today, always be zealous in repenting. Always be zealous in repenting. And I want to base this from something very familiar we know very well, and that is to be found in Revelation chapter 3 and verses 14 to 22. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22, and we are calling today's teaching, always be zealous in repenting. And this will be one of the signs that you are truly the Lord's, because there is something redemptive that works in your nature, your heart, because God has put a new heart, a new nature within you. You are not yourself anymore. You are not what you once used to be. And one of the signs of this new nature, the new birth, is that we are zealous. We take seriously repenting, because the nature of what God has done in our lives is redemptive. And always remember that. So let's read something that we know well, and then we will allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit or spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eyesalve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And we're calling this today that always be zealous in repenting. Now, I just want to briefly remind us what is being said here and how we can relate and see this prophetically being worked out in these last days amongst God's people and amongst the church. And he says to this church, which is obviously in the area of Laodicea, in Asia Minor, and he says, these things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Here he gives us a reminder of Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God. And he is the true witness. So Christ has witnessed to the Father, revealing the Father's love to the world. And then he goes on, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So he is reminding the church, he's reminding us, he's reminding FGA about our works. Our works of salvation, our works that come as a result of our faith in Christ. So then, verse 16, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So there is the warning God gives. God will always warn before he judges. That is part of the redemptive work of salvation in Jesus Christ. So none of us are without excuse. He always warns. And that is why the Bible is filled with those who are wise, listen to what God is saying. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So the church is acting and saying in its complacency, well, I am rich, I've got food on the table, God meets all my needs, I'm listening to an anointed word, I'm in fellowship, I'm out of bondage, I'm no longer in denominationalism or whatever. These are the complacent attitudes that we can take on board. And he refers to it as being wealthy. Well, of course, there are a lot of churches and ministers who are raking in a huge amount of money, making merchandise of the gospel. And you have need of nothing. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And that is what he's exposing. That is what the Spirit is saying to contemporary Christianity of these last days. You haven't got it as you think, because you're wretched, you are miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That is how God sees it. And what a tragedy. His body that's supposed to be representative on this earth, pointing to the nations, to people, the way of salvation. And he says, you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So what chance do they have if they are blind and naked? Because unless you see, you will not know these things. And only God can open our eyes to see. And then look what the Holy Spirit comes to do. And this is why God has called us into the deeper life. I counsel you to buy from me. In other words, I'm going to work with you. I'm going to get your attention. And he says, buy from me gold refined in the fire. In other words, don't resist the trials, the temptations, they are your deliverance. That is what is going to refine you and bring you forth as gold. And he's saying, don't be blind to this, that you may be rich. He's showing where the real wealth lies. Real riches lie in refinement. And they give you these white garments because you won't be part of the bride of Christ otherwise. That you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. So he's speaking about the problem there. He said, you're wretched, miserable, blind and naked. And he's counseling us to show how this can be changed in our lives. Anoint your eyes with eyesel that you may see. So in other words, you ask God in humility, Lord, show me, reveal to me, guide me. I am blind otherwise. I cannot see unless you have mercy over my life. Does that sound like humility? Does that sound like bowing the knee before Almighty God? Of course it does. And that is why God has dealt with pride over the years, to rid us of this curse. As many as I love, and boy does he love us, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. And that's why I'm calling this teaching today, always be zealous in repenting. Why? Because he says he loves us. And a sign of his love is he chastens us. That is what a father does. So don't be offended when God is dealing with you, chastening you, honing in on areas. You start to become offended and you start to answer back and make excuses. You start to bring blindness upon yourself. And that's the tragedy. That is why we have to be always around in that attitude before God, ready to get cleansed, to have a changed mind and heart and thinking in these areas where he's delivering us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. So he starts with an if. Do you want to hear that knocking? How many want to respond to that knocking? Because God knocks on the conscience of man, on his heart. And he says, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me. So there it speaks of friendship. It speaks, you know, that is what we do. Part of our social graces that we learn, we share and have a meal together at the table. That is very biblical. And so that's what Christ comes and does with us. And he says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also have overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So it is spiritual. It is the Spirit speaking. And that is what we have to hear, the Spirit speaking into our lives. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, that God is using this age of lukewarmness, and sadly, especially in Christendom, to bring about repentance. And that's why, brothers and sisters, you and I are under a deeper deliverance. He's refining us as gold. And he does it by allowing to take us through the fiery trials, the tests of our faith. That is our deeper deliverance. Why do we call it a deeper deliverance? Because sadly, many professing Christians run away from it. And they make all excuses. They are not honest. They are dishonest with regard to deliverance and deeper deliverance. But you see, we have learnt, haven't we, that God has done such a work within us that there is nowhere else to go. There is nowhere to hide. You just remain, you stay with it, and guess what? God soon brings you through, and there is the blessing, there is the refinement, there you see more gold being brought out of you and I. Hallelujah. You see, the tragedy is today that we live in such an age of compromise and wrong influences. We live in an age today of conformity. Everything now is vague, it's neutral, and it's also, sadly, in Christianity, it's in politics, it's in commerce. Nothing today is black and white, but it's grey. And we wonder why our children are rebelling. Why we see the tragedies of today, because there are no boundaries, there are no lines, there is no guidance, there is no morality. We're losing it all in this age of rebellion. And that is why we're seeing the horrendous things that are coming forth now, like we are. And I don't have to tell you that. You see it, you hear it on the news, it's out in the streets, it's even in your own family. And of course, when we preach a message like this today, it's utterly and completely unpopular. It's unpopular to be specific. It's unpopular to be black and white and to say, this is what God says. It's not whether I say it or not. I choose to agree what he says, and therefore I share in what he says. Because if you don't agree with God's word, you can't then share the gospel. You cannot share this word. If you form your own opinions over God's word, you are in trouble. You water it down from what it really means. Now, with today's climate and living and immorality, that is incomprehensible, what I'm saying now. And most are offended by that. But that is how the Bible presents itself. And so, particularly with our faith and our belief in God's word, because this is so prevalent today, we unfortunately allow that fear that gets in of offending. We're fearful about being clear about our convictions. We're fearful because we're going to be labelled dogmatic or authoritarian or divisive. And this is why we live in an age now where they're trying to police what you say now through political correctness. They are nothing but the powers of darkness attacking the word of God being preached. Take your eyes above what you hear, what you hear in the news, what is going on politically and everything. Most of what you're hearing and seeing, wars, rumors of wars, are to attack the Christian, the church, the gospel. That is the devil's aim. And the world is simply like a chessboard, its pawns being moved and manipulated around, controlled. That's what we're facing. And this is why we have to get into the heavenlies with regard to our praying and our intercession and our warfare. Most of you saw that eagle pinning down that snake, that cobra. And you read what it said underneath. That was profound, what was said there. And for those of you who have not seen it, it said simply that the eagle doesn't fight the serpent. He holds it in his talons. And then he takes it up into the air where it's out of its comfort zone, because it can't strike in the air. It can only strike on the ground. Its power is in crawling. And so he takes it up into the air, out of its comfort zone. And this is what God does with us. He has to take us out, up, into the spirit, where we war. We are too comfortable, we're too in control when we are on the ground, when we are in control in the intellect and everything. And so it's the same in our warfare. We weaken the powers of darkness, we weaken the enemy when we get him out of his comfort zone. And warring in the spirit is what does this. This is why I emphasizes so much in coming against powers, principalities, naming them, warring against them, because you are taking them out of their comfort zone. These demonic forces are to control what is on the earth. Because Satan wants to be Lord, he wants to be God of this earth. And when you start to take him up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus, which is where you are seated in your spiritual warfare, he cannot stand that, because that's the presence of God. That's the light of God. That is the holiness of God, and that is what exposes him. And our calling in these last days in spiritual warfare is to bring it out into the light, to expose it so that it may be seen. That is what the church is for. That is what our message is about. That is what God does with you and I through going through these trials and testings and purgings. What is it about? It's to bring what is dark in your life out into the light, to be healed and delivered from. Christ is the light of the heavens. No, he's the light of the world for that very purpose. And he exposed the enemy, the powers of darkness, at Calvary. They can't hide anymore. They've been weakened. And that is why God has given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. That you have been given that authority as a royal priesthood to unlock those doors in these last days. And this is why we push it back. And this pushing back the powers of darkness is going to continue why the overcomers are still on the earth. Now, you may raise the question, well, why are we just pushing it back? Because we know that God is going to put down his enemies. He will deal with that finally. He will deal with the Antichrist himself. That is not our role. Our role is to expose it, for the purpose that others will see the way of salvation, that their eyes may be opened. This is why you war in the spirit. You war in the spirit over your family, your loved ones, your husband, your wife, or whatever it would be, so that they can see. Because you couldn't repent unless you could see. And that is the principle. But there is another thing that I believe God reveals to me, why we keep this pushback in our spiritual warfare, for the very reason that the sons of God, the man-child, can come into full maturity. The powers of darkness are trying to stop the man-child from being birthed. And the means of us by being birthed is our spiritual warfare in pushing back the powers of darkness for us to be able to develop fully. Now, I believe God revealed that to me. And so this is why God will not allow us to be lukewarm, to compromise. He's taking us up into the heavens. He's making us spiritual, that eye cell, so that we can see. You need to see what you're up against with the enemy. And that eagle knows exactly how to destroy that serpent, because he doesn't fight with it. He knows that can give a deadly blow, a deadly bite, so he takes it out of its comfort zone. And that's what you and I do We are taking the powers of darkness out of their comfort zone. But of course we see through the flesh, through governments, world governments, how we're seeing now they're trying to suppress, they're trying to stop freedom, control. And of course, this is what the enemy is going to do. He's going to bring in the beast system, the mark of the beast, so that everyone has to take that mark. That is control. It is trying to keep people bound and blinded. And that's why he tries to stop us from sharing this gospel. And the Lord says, when you compromise in this, it's sickly, it's lukewarm, it's neither one thing or the other. And he says, I'll spew this out of my mouth. You see, a lot of the revolt today is because of this lukewarmness. This is what we're seeing. This is why we're seeing these revolts. This is why people are going on these marches and demonstrations and everything. They don't understand it. They just see it politically. But it's about this age of lukewarmness that we live in. Compromise. And that's why the church is so attacked today through this liberalism. They don't like that our teaching is obedience to Christ. They don't like that. And that's why the enemy is fighting like he is against this message. Because he wants us obedient to him. To sin. But it's not only there that we have this problem and confusion in contemporary Christianity today. We also have this problem of this confusion between clergy and laity amongst Christendom, because it's become an organization, a denomination. It's church on Sunday. That's when you're a Christian and you're good. And all of this is because the loss of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is why, sadly, you don't hear much today now in a lot of preaching and teaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how you have to be empowered for this, to go on that extra mile. They've lost sight of all of this. The same as they lost sight of this after Pentecost, began to lose sight and experience of the baptism of the Spirit. And why? It's because they want to organize and control it. And that's why the church doesn't want to walk by faith. Where you have got areas of unbelief still in your life, it's because you still want to organize and be in control of your life. And that's why you don't get breakthroughs. I've said it so often, and I will say it again to some, it is the most fearful thing to let go of everything and let God take over. And that's why God has to deal with fear and unbelief, because you're never going to let go fully. And you'll convince yourself you're in faith. You'll convince yourself you're doing the right thing and everything. And God says, I counsel you. I'm calling you to repentance. You need your eyes opening. There's reason why you're not walking by faith as you should be. Because you still want to organize. You still want to be in control. And God says you burn all your bridges when you walk with him. And that's why most accept the lukewarmness. They're neither one thing or the other. And the tragedy of this is God says, I spew this out of my mouth. This doesn't glorify me. Better that you are cold and you're honest than trying to be an overcomer or whatever it is. Because they don't accept Christ's admonitions to be zealous and repent. And I go back to the title. That is what's going to help you. That's what helps me, is to be always zealous in repenting. When God has got my name and address on it, he says in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Do you think God likes doing that? He doesn't. It's the nature of the world now. The world has so fallen away. It is so pagan. It's so reprobate, seared in its mind and conscience, that God has to work this way in the church. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. That, never despise that from your Heavenly Father. If you know of that chastening in your life, that is a clear sign you are His. Hallelujah. And therefore, take comfort in this. And when He's dealing with you, rebuking you, chastening you, He's getting your attention, repent and be zealous about it. Don't put it off. Don't leave it till tomorrow or next week. Keep those close accounts before the Lord. It's vital now in this final race that we're in. And that's why those who are baptized, empowered by the Spirit, and are going on in the Spirit, they've moved on from Pentecost, because sadly many had been baptized in the Spirit. Oh yes, they may speak in tongues, but they stop at Pentecost and they don't realize that that is a stepping stone of going on. And what do? They lay down the mantle and have become just lukewarm and spectators. And that's why you've got most in these meetings today are simply spectators. And this is why so much of Christianity has become a form of entertainment, with its beautiful music and big congregations and band on the stage, light effects and everything. Oh, it's become like Hollywood. And the Lord says, I spew that out of my mouth. It's not real. It's dishonest. That is not a body functioning. It's being controlled by this subtle form of entertainment that we have today. No, we labour the fact that we all minister as the Spirit leads. And that's what the Holy Spirit's doing with the church in these last days. This is why the enemy is so subtle, how he weakens, how he'll keep you in that paralyzed state. But the power of the Holy Spirit will not let you do that. And as you are zealous in repenting and allowing God to do that deeper deliverance in your life, you're going to find you will rise up and you will be used in these last days. You see, if you are at home and content with the state of Christianity, you won't be an overcomer. Trust me. If you are at home and content with the state of Christianity, you won't be an overcomer. We should take on the burden of our Heavenly Father. Take on the burden of what He's saying here. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens a door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. That zeal for repentance has got to be there for change and deliverance. And that's why, as I bring this to a conclusion, I know again we know it very well, but if we read in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, here it speaks about where we examine ourselves. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. So the reason we examine ourselves as to whether we're in the faith, because it's about Jesus Christ who is in me. And so if we don't examine ourselves, if we're not zealous about this, it is disrespectful to the one who resides and lives in you. In other words, you're slighting him. And we do it. Now, it's a very interesting word here where he says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. And it's this Greek word, pirazo. And this simply means, can it be done? That's the question that's being raised. Because so often when we're examining ourselves, whether we're in the faith, we're battling in the areas of faith. And we're raising doubts, questions. Can it be done? This is why it's so important to know Greek words. And it simply means to search, to put to the test. It's putting to the test the possibility I could be tempted. So I cannot be complacent. Or is it right or wrong? Am I making the right moral and ethical choice? It also means when we search ourselves to go above and beyond ourselves. And that, of course, is the supernatural walk of faith. And it also means perfecting. Be perfect even as your Heavenly Father is perfect. That degree of perfection comes out of our searching. Being honest, humble, before God, and not pretending or going through just merely the actions. This is what he's saying here. And this is going to be the mark and characteristic of an overcomer. We cannot hinder the work of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. God is still dealing with us. He's still working with us, as we wouldn't be having messages and teachings like this. This is a sign he loves us. And he has called us from the foundation of the world. And he wants us to get it right. He doesn't want us deceiving ourselves or pushing it under the carpet. Oh, I'll deal with it tomorrow or next week or whatever it would be. And if we're not zealous in this area of repenting, of searching and seeking God to be right, then we need him to do that. And one caution as I bring this to a close, this being zealous, repenting, seeking God is not a means of being centered on self, me. That is not what we're talking about here. This repentance, being zealous of this repentance, is exactly the opposite, that it delivers me from myself, my selfish motives and attitudes, what I want to do. This actually works completely the opposite. You cannot be delivered from self unless you are first looking inwardly to get that deliverance, which is fundamentally delivering us from ourselves. So there we are, brothers and sisters. Always be zealous in repenting. It is very important.
Jesus.